The following is a class by His Holiness Sri Satsarupa Das Goswami, recorded on Sri Krishna Janmashtami, August 12, 2001, in Inishrath, Ireland.
Translation. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namani. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pastakari Satarane. This verse shows us the importance of understanding Janmashtami, why Krishna appears, what is the nature of his birth. Janma means birth. His birth is not ordinary material birth. So if we understand this divyam, transcendental birth of Krishna and his activities, his work, then the benefit to us is that we don't have to take birth again in the material world. Of course, not just today we hear about Krishna every day. We should regularly hear about Krishna. But today, we may try to especially understand his birth. Most of you know this. These pastimes are described in the first three chapters of the 10th canto, or corresponding those chapters in the Prabhupada's Krishna book. So I'd like to give a condensed, relaxed version of that, and then some of the more intimate explanations of Krishna's appearance, which also occur in Prabhupada's purports in Chaitanya Charitamrita and in some of the commentaries of the Gaudiya Vaishnava chariots. At the very beginning of the 10th canto, in the 4th verse, Maharaj Parikshit speaks that verse that begins that Nivitatai Shaya Rupadi Yamana Oshajap Chotra Anoviyamat, expressing his own enthusiasm to hear about Krishna. And he says, the pastimes of Krishna are so relishable that all kinds of people can take part in hearing them with benefit. Those who are liberated, they like it very much. It's not that liberated persons don't want to hear anything, that they just contemplate on a void, but rather they want to hear about the pastimes of Krishna, and they understand them as nobody else can. Out of their love for Krishna, they see Krishna, and they see Krishna in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, self-realized hearers from self-realized speakers. But then there are people who, they're still mixed, but they want to achieve perfection, so they strive to hear about Krishna, and they get benefit also. And then even people who don't have any particular interest in spiritual matters, but they can enjoy hearing about Krishna, because especially in 10th canto, his pastimes are so interesting and enjoyable. His babyhood pastimes are very amusing, and his youthhood pastimes are very heroic and romantic. They like it too. The only people who can't enjoy it are the killers of the soul, which means the slaughterers of animals and the slaughterers of their own souls. So that's the setting in that statement by Maharaj Parikshit. Then he asks a number of questions of Sukadeva Goswami, and Sukadeva Goswami begins by telling the events that led to Krishna's appearance. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also says that from time to time, in a scheduled way, he appears in the world when the devotees are being persecuted by the demons, and when religion is very fallen and needs to be picked up. So in order to do that job, he appears in many different forms. He appeared as Hiranyakashipu, he appeared as Nrisingadev. It was just a suitable form to kill the demon Hiranyakashipu. He appeared as Varaha to save the earth. He appeared as Lord Rama, and in each of these forms, they are all Vishnu forms. He does this work which is described in Bhagavad Gita. Now, Krishna's appearance is different than that. And I'll describe this in detail a little later. But in essence, Krishna, he doesn't come to kill demons or to do administrative work as his expansions of Vishnu do. He only comes to enjoy his own pastimes, and by doing that, to leave records of those pastimes so devotees can hear about them and enjoy them and become liberated. And he does them so that devotees can engage with him in these wonderful pastimes. These are the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, the original form of Krishna, like the Radha Govinda, is Krishna in Vrindavan. And all the Vishnu forms, they're all expansions of his. So we're actually celebrating today Krishna in his original form. But as the narration tells it, the demigods were very distressed, when, as they usually are, by the overabundance of demons who seemed to be in the form of armies, but were actually demons, burdening the earth. So they went to Brahma, led by Bhumi, the earth, in the form of a cow, and Brahma took them all to see Lord Vishnu as Shiradakshai Vishnu on the shore of the ocean of milk, and he meditated with a prayer, the Purusha Shukta prayer, and Lord Vishnu spoke to him and said that yes, I will come very soon to relieve the earth of its burden. Now you, all demigods, you start appearing in the world in different forms to be my mother and other elders. So they were very relieved to hear this and went back. Then the next scene is Krishna is the mother, she who's to be the mother and he who's to be the father of Krishna, Devaki and Vasudeva, are just married, and they're being led home after their marriage on a chariot by Devaki's brother, which was a customary way things were done. And he was doing that out of respect for them, and they had a big dowry from her parents. And as Prabhupada said, everything was going on very pleasingly, with music and procession, when suddenly there was a voice spoke from the sky to Kamsa. It said, you fool, you don't know it, but the eighth child of this woman is going to kill you. So He was so afraid of his life that Kamsa immediately took his sword and he was going to kill his sister. And Vasudev tried to stop him, but Kamsa was very powerful. But Vasudev, in urgency, began to speak philosophy to Kamsa, saying, "Why are you so afraid of death?" And he began to explain about the philosophy of transmigration, that we never really die, we just take one birth after another, and according to our karma. But this philosophy didn't work with a person like Kamsa. He was aware of that philosophy, actually, but he was too afraid of death for it to be effective. So Vasudev was very intelligent and diplomatic, so he switched his tactics, and he began to, he just spoke diplomacy, and he said, "All right, don't be afraid. The omen said that the eighth child would kill you, so why are you killing your sister? She's not going to kill you. We'll give you the children who may be born of our union, whatever children there are, and you can decide whether to, you can kill them if you want." And he was thinking, who knows in the future what may happen, but let me save Devaki for now. So because Vasudeva was so honorable in his words of truth, Kamsa was pacified. He didn't kill his sister. So then after a year, they Devaki bore her first child, and true to his word, Vasudev brought the child, great submission, to Kamsa. And Kamsa was a little softened, and he thought, "Oh well, this is only the first child, so you can keep this child, I won't kill her, I won't kill him." And Vasudev felt relieved, but he thought, "Well, who knows, this man can't really be trusted, but at least for now we're safe." And the next thing that happened was really extraordinary. The great saint among the demigods, Narada Muni, came into the court of Kamsa, where he was received very respectfully. And he told Kamsa that actually all the demigods, your great enemies, who you're afraid of, they've all taken birth in the earth, and all in the Yadu dynasty, and all different places. And they're getting ready for the appearance of your great enemy, Vishnu. Because Kamsa knew that he had been killed in a former life by Vishnu. He was looking for Vishnu's appearance again, so he could kill him this time. So when he heard this, he became very alarmed, and he changed his mood that, well, Kamsa, Vasudev can keep these children for now. And he decided he better kill all the children, because who knew, any one of them could be Vishnu. So I say this was extraordinary, because why would Narada reveal all this and cause such alarm in the mind of Kamsa that he began to kill the babies one after one? I'll pause in this monologue and ask somebody to tell me, why did Narada act this way? Bhagavat, you can hardly restrain yourself. Why? To speed up Krishna's appearance. Yeah. He wanted to accelerate the appearance of Krishna, so that all the good things could happen, and all the demons could finally be killed. So it sounds a little strange to us, but sometimes you're in some suffering condition, and you're wondering, when will relief come? You know, it's hard to be patient. When will God bring about a better condition. It's hard to wait and trust. So a person like Narada comes and says, "Oh, all right, I won't, you don't have to wait so long. I'll get things going." So it'll be unbearable, and Krishna will come very, very soon. And that's what he, that's why he did it. He was not actually an ally of Kamsa. So he was killed. So then he arrested his brother-in-law and sister, put them in the prison, and began killing their babies one after another. Then 6 children were killed. Then the 7th child came, and this time Krishna informed, Devaki and Vasudev, or whether he informed them or not, he actually appeared in her womb as Yogamaya. And Devaki had what appeared to be a miscarriage, and that child was actually not a miscarriage, but it was delivered. Yogamaya was delivered to the womb of Rohini in Gokula. There's a bit of a ring here. Did Krishna inform somebody that I'm going to do this? I don't remember that detail, but he did it. And he said, "I'm going to do this, and then in the next child, I'm going to appear in your womb as Lord Vishnu, as Krishna." So the 7th child went to the womb of Rohini, although she was first appeared in the womb of Devaki. And then Krishna, he went from entered first the mind of Vasudeva, and then he went into the... actually, we shouldn't think that Krishna is an ordinary child, so we shouldn't think that he entered the womb of Devaki, but sometimes it's said like that. He went from the heart of Vasudeva to the heart, or it's sometimes said the womb of Devaki, but it's not an ordinary conception by seminal injection or material birth. But Devaki appeared very beautiful now that Krishna was conceived within her, and she was bearing his for pregnancy and waiting for him to appear, or to be born by her. So I won't discuss their long philosophical passages where in her pregnancy the demigods come, and to give her solace they pray beautiful philosophical prayers to Vishnu in the womb. And there also it's stated, however, that Krishna actually appears just for his pastimes, not for any purpose. So those prayers are the prayers of the demigods. And then at the right time, and Krishna actually appears, just like we're observing tonight. Krishna appears in the prison house, and he appears in his four-armed form as Vishnu, carrying his four symbols, and they're obviously convinced that he's not an ordinary child. And first Vasudeva, then Devaki make very philosophical prayers to him, because their mood is that they see him as God in awe and reverence, and yet it's also mixed with maternal, because she says to Krishna, "I'm afraid that if Kamsa sees you in his form as Vishnu, he'll kill you." Which is kind of ironic. If he is Vishnu, how could he kill him? But she knows that he's after Vishnu, so she has a maternal feeling that I'm afraid if he sees you, he'll kill you as Vishnu. So why don't you please take your baby form. And so he takes that baby form. He says, all right, but now you can take me to save me from Kamsa, take me out of here and go and exchange me for a child that's been born of Yasoda in Gokula. So how are they going to get out of prison? Suddenly, by Lilamaya, all the guards fall asleep and the chains open and he's able to go out, and Vasudeva takes Krishna across the Yamuna, although first it appears to be full of waves and storm, but he sees a jackal walking across it, so he follows that jackal, and he goes all the way to Gokula, and there Mother Yasoda has just given birth, apparently, to a baby girl. So he takes that girl and he puts the boy there, Vishnu, and he goes back to the prison, unlocks all the chains again and goes in his place. You know the rest, how Kamsa is then notified that the baby is born, and he comes rushing in great anxiety that this is my death, but I'll somehow kill him. And Devaki says, please don't, you killed so many babies, please spare this one. And he picks the baby up, ready to smash it against the stone. But the baby flies out of his hand, and in the sky is Durga, fierce, many-armed Durga, and she says, you can't kill me, and the child you're looking for is already born. And he becomes very afraid. He says, oh, apparently the demigods also lie. I heard that voice, that the eighth child would kill me, but this is, now you've appeared as Durga. So pastimes continue like that. But I wanted to, as I said, speak a little also, especially about Krishna's appearance as the son of Yasoda. Because on the surface of it, it appears that, we sometimes say that Krishna is that Yasoda is the foster parent of Krishna, that the real mother is Devaki. But actually, real mother of original Krishna is Yasoda and Nanda. So, first of all, I have a few references of that in Prabhupada's Bhagavatam. These are mostly from the commentaries, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and others. Here's a verse. It says, thereafter, exactly when Vasudeva, being inspired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was about to take the newborn child from the delivery room, Yogamaya, the Lord's spiritual energy, took birth as the daughter of the wife of Maharaj Nanda. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur discusses that Krishna appeared simultaneously as the son of Devaki and as the son of Yashoda, along with the spiritual energy, Yogamaya. As the son of Devaki, he first appeared as Vishnu, and because Vasudeva was not in a position of pure affection for Krishna, Vasudeva worshipped his son as Lord Vishnu. Yasoda, however, pleased her son Krishna without understanding his godhood. This is the difference between Krishna as the son of Yasoda and as the son of Devaki. So simultaneously, the mothers both bore a child. The child born to Devaki and Vasudeva was Vishnu. The child born to Yasoda and Nanda was Krishna. And this is shown by more evidence, not just that. We're a little technical about an umbilical cord. The Jata Karma ceremony can take place when the umbilical cord connecting the child with the placenta is cut. However, since Krishna was brought by Vasudeva to the house of Nanda Maharaj, where was the chance for this to happen? In this regard, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur desires to prove with evidence from many shastras that Krishna actually took birth as the son of Yashoda before the birth of Yogamaya, who is therefore described as the Lord's younger sister. So Mother Yashoda had two children on that occasion, first Krishna and then Yogamaya. Even though there may be doubts about the cutting of the umbilical cord, and even though it is possible that this was not done, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, such events are regarded as actual. According to the opinion of authorities, Krishna was actually born as the son of Yashoda. And I'll just read one more rather than getting overbearing about it. But there's another story. It comes from the Gopalchampu by Jiva Goswami and Harivamsa. And this is compiled in our Godbrother's book, Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj, who's got a book forthcoming, Mathura Meets Vrindavan. So it's very nice. Two poets appeared in the court of Nanda Maharaj. Their names were Marukanta, which means whose voice is laden with nectar or honey, and Snigdhakanta, whose voice is full of affection. And they sang their poetry about the appearance of Krishna as the son of Yashoda. Yashoda and Nanda very much wanted a son, but they couldn't have one. And by providence, they tried different sacrifices, but no son. Then Mother Yashoda said to Nanda, "There's one thing we haven't tried. It's the Dvadasi Paramabrata. You try that." And Nanda was very happy. He said, "Yes, let us try that sacrifice." So they approached their priest, and he told them how to do that. And they did it for a year. After the year was up, Nanda Maharaj had a dream in which Lord Hari appeared to him and said, "I'm very pleased with you, and that which you desire will come about. You'll have a son." So right away, after he woke, he told Mother Yashoda, and they went down to the Yamuna with various riches, and they gave them away in charity. First they bathed and gave these riches away in charity. So beggars came, mendicants came to get them, but who knows who those persons actually were, what demigods and demigoddesses they were. You know, they very happily received the charity and said, "Ananda Maharaj ki jai, Yashoda Mata ki jai." Then shortly after that, a brahmacharini ascetic came to Gokula, and she made a prophecy. It was the same as Lord Vishnu said in the dream. She said, "You are actually going to have a son." First of all, they received her very respectfully, washed her feet and everything. And she said, "You're going to have a son very soon." And so they were so happy to hear this from her, and they built her little cottage, and she stayed there of an auspicious presence. And then sometime after that, Mother Yashoda became, shortly after that, Nanda saw in the sky, in the night sky, a bluish boy, and he also saw a golden girl form, and they descended and entered his heart, and then they entered the womb of Yashoda. So in this way, she conceived these two, and everyone was happy. And after time went by, the required time, she entered a maternal house, which was all decorated. And then, during the night, she conceived the babies. There was no pain at all. She was asleep. She didn't even know they were born. And but in the morning, she saw her baby boy, Krishna. And previously, she had always seen the baby boys of other mothers, but now she had her own child, and she was crying, and milk was coming from her breast. She was so ecstatic just looking at Krishna. her child. And then the baby began to cry, and the other people woke up and came, and they said, "Oh, look, it is not a girl, it is a boy." So then, how does that fit in with what was going on in Mathura? So, as I said, at the exact same moment, Devaki gave birth to Vishnu, that Yasoda gave birth to Krishna. And then at the exact moment that Vasudeva left the prison, then the Yogamaya girl was born to Yasoda, the younger sister of Krishna, she's called. So when Vasudeva came, he took the girl, but by the force of Yogamaya, he didn't see the boy. And so then he put Vishnu there, and as Vishnu being part and parcel of Krishna, he merged into Krishna. Therefore, in Krishna's pastimes, all the Vishnu work, the killing of demons and so on, is done by the Vishnu form of Krishna. And Krishna just played in Vrindavan. So, which is, I thought, was a very delightful explanation of the simultaneous appearance of Krishna in Vrindavan to Vishnu in Mathura.